Closed captioning for AutoLine Detroit is brought to you by Virtual Services Automotive Specialists.
Hello, I'm John McElroy. Welcome to AutoLine Detroit, the television program for, of, and about the automotive industry. Today, I'll be bringing in a couple of interesting guests. First up is Sid Mead, one of the most creative designers in the world. Though he worked for the Ford Motor Company early in his career, working for a big corporation proved to be too tame for Sid Mead. He moved out to California and, before you know it, was heavily involved in designing movie sets. Maybe most famously, the movie Blade Runner, celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. He also worked on the Star Trek movies, Aliens, Short Circuit, and others. He's also done cartoons, Japanese anime, and Sid Mead also produced a design book for U.S. Steel back in the 1970s to tantalize the auto industry with futuristic designs. And that book is considered a design classic even today. This guy is a visionary, and you're going to enjoy this conversation. After that, I'll be bringing Scott Sharland on, the president of the AIAG, or the Automotive Industry Action Group. It's an organization dedicated to making the auto industry more efficient on a whole host of different issues. But the one that we're going to tackle today is healthcare. But here's the twist. Scott Sharland thinks they can help contain healthcare costs by teaching the healthcare industry how to use automotive processes and procedures to reduce mistakes and eliminate waste in the system. And he's talking about achieving significant improvements. This is a conversation we all can learn from. And then, of course, we're going to be looking at the latest news that's taken place in the auto industry this week. And joining me on my journalist panel today are David Kiley from Business Week and Gene Jennings, the editor of Automobile Magazine. So stay right where you are, because we've got a lot of interesting guests coming right up on AutoLine Detroit.
Production of AutoLine Detroit is brought to you by
quieter, stronger, safer, better. At Dow Automotive, we're all about solutions. Solutions that perform. From Dow Automotive, we listen. We deliver.
We know the value of innovation. We push the boundaries of technology to produce the next generation of modules and components for light vehicle systems and commercial vehicles. At Arvin Meritor, we're passionate about delivering value, quality, and performance. We learn innovation young. Arvin Meritor, solutions that move the world.
Michigan has quite an automotive history, but for Toyota, it holds an even bigger future. Toyota Technical Center has broken ground on a 700-acre expansion.
We believe that we will be here for a long, long time.
Thanks to the help of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, high-tech companies plant roots here because the competitive advantage ensures success. From a tech-savvy workforce to its world-renowned research universities, Michigan can give your global manufacturing company the upper hand.
A global innovation network enables your organization to capture ideas from every part of the value chain and quickly turn great ideas into great products. UGS delivers a system that links all your partners in a real-time network where each can impact the conception, launch, lifecycle, and long-term financial success of your product. UGS solutions power your global innovation network.
The American Iron and Steel Institute and its member companies are committed to a vital and sustainable North American steel industry. AISI, accelerating innovation with advanced high-strength steel.
Straight from the Motor City, this is AutoLine Detroit. Here's veteran automotive journalist John McElroy.
Welcome to our journalist discussion right now of the news of the week with Gene Jennings from Automobile Magazine and David Kiley from Business Week. Great to have you both here at AutoLine Detroit.
Hello, John. You're welcome.
David, what do you make of GM's earnings? I mean, did they make money? Did they lose money? Was it an improvement or what? Because the numbers are all over the map.
It's a little, they make it difficult, especially since they're so late in reporting. But it looks like they are making some money, some improvement. From the good news is that their retail business is improving. Their transaction prices are improving. Their incentive spend per vehicle is improving. Their reliance on fleet sales and employee sales, to keep the metal going is declining. It's all, this business is a business of turning the valves as much as you can, and when you can turn the valves a little bit on a company on the scale of GM, you can start to make real improvement. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Gene, you focus more on the product side. Do you see GM really turning it around?
Monstrous improvement. That's probably the wrong word to go with improvement. Unbelievable improvement. The interiors. I just drove an Acadia for the weekend, and this is Lexus quality interior. Mm. There is no doubt
GMC,
about it.
GMC, big
the real,
crossover.
Yeah, the big crossover. The big news at General Motors to me is interiors.
Yeah.
From one vehicle to the next, that has paid off in spades, and that was the attention to what Lutz referred to as zero fit, meaning absolutely no gaps, no wiggle room for anything in that interior. The colors are great, the graining of the vinyls, the mix, it's just been fabulous, I think. The auto show really showed it off. And General Motors redid their whole display. It was a big open arm welcome instead of that kind of bunker. Mm. And it was really nice to see.
As much as I miss the gaps in the interior where I could stick my toll money, I would have to say that besides interiors, the new cars that Bob Lutz has been able to do from a clean sheet of paper, not the ones that he fixed and retooled.
Right.
But these clean sheet of paper vehicles that are coming out now have, in my opinion, beaten a lot of the Japanese competition. I think that the Outlook and the Acadia, for example,
knockout good.
Yeah, we're not talking about just what they look like,
exactly,
but how
they operate, how they're packaged. They benchmark the Pilot, they blow the Pilot away. The real test now is Toyota's coming out with a new Sequoia soon. And Honda's coming out with a new Pilot soon. And the real test is going to be if these vehicles beat those vehicles when they come out. And if they do, we've got a changed game on our hands.
Absolutely right. When I drove the GMC Acadia, remarkable to me was the brake feel. Just absolutely linear. The steering quality, the ride quality, it was luscious. It was modern. I like the old, big old GM vehicles. I have a Suburban. I like the old Denali. These are modern vehicles
Are these the vehicles that are going to change the perception? Because GM definitely hurts from a perception problem. So do Ford and Chrysler, for that matter, but GM as well.
I disagree with this perception problem. The perception was reality. there are five good cars and 20 kind of half crappy ones. And what we have now is one good car after another. They can't afford not to have one good car after another, and that's what's happening. Saturn, to me, is the huge turnaround. I mean, that was a 180 from, like I say, nothing but a group hug to a line of cars that are really nice, desirable, cars that reward you for buying them.
And David, let's go back to these financial numbers a minute. If you look at the fourth quarter, GM looks really good. I mean, the year as a whole, on a fully accounted basis, they lost money, about $2 billion. If you take out special charges and all that, they made money, $2 billion. But in the fourth quarter alone, standalone, adjusted and all that, they made money. So it looks like the momentum's on their side.
Again, they had some of these new products coming out, which were transacting very high. We talked to Mark Lenev about dialing down advertising, which they did, and that helped. I think that they wanted to make a statement in the fourth quarter, and I think they went rooting around for as much stuff as they could put into that quarter to make that statement, and they did. But, you know, one quarter, as we all know, does not make a turnaround. So this is going to be a very challenging year for GM with the housing market down, because when the housing market's down, it not only affects the truck business, but it makes people a lot less interested in sort of spending up, tapping their home equity. Bonuses are not there unless you work on Wall Street, you know. So and bonuses are particularly not there in the red states where the Detroit brands are biggest. And so there's a lot of headwind.
We're also going to find out how much those incentives from the past year and a half will impact the sales this year. Right. People don't really need to buy new vehicles, so they're going to have to produce vehicles that people are going to want to buy.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Gene Jennings, David Kiley, thanks so much for coming in and talking about the news of the week. Welcome to my discussion right now with Sid Mead, automotive designer, futurist, and many other things. Great to have you on AutoLine Detroit.
Thanks.
You'll not remember this, but I met you around 1980 when you came through Detroit and you were lecturing on things. And the thing that you talked about that absolutely stuck with me is you said, we're going to see the electronic horse and the electronic herd. Yes. And what you said at the time is, because I asked, what's an electronic horse? And you said, in the old days, the cowboy would stumble out of the saloon, right. He'd get up in the saddle, and the horse would go to the barn.
Exactly.
It didn't matter how drunk the cowboy was.
Exactly.
And you said, our cars are going to be able to do that.
Yes.
And then secondly, you said, just as you might have seen herds of buffalo running in tandem, or we see flights of bird or schools of fish doing the same, you said, cars will talk to one another electronically. And guess what? We're now just on the verge of the electronic horse and the electronic herd.
Right.
So where do you see all that going in terms of the automobile?
Well, the electronic linkage with transponders, the high-end cars now, and everybody knows what make they are, have following radar, runs a braking system, is tied into the automatic acceleration, deceleration brake system. It tells the driver when he should take over manually. The new Lexus parks itself parallel. I think that's astonishing. And so we're well on the way. The average car has about 1,000 sensors spread throughout the vehicle to control dynamic stability of the suspension system, the steering correction, the side wind drift, and all that. And that'll become more and more sophisticated, and the car will recognize who you are. If you own a high-end Mercedes, you can walk up to the car. It senses the keychain, and it opens up, and there you are.
Where do you assess the auto industry being right now? Let's talk about some of the current car design out there. It must seem awfully ancient to you, who are always looking 30 years in the future.
Well, the automobile business is to stay in business. I mean, any business, the object is to stay in business. If you suddenly have to shift gears and make something else, but you keep the corporate name, perhaps, or the franchise. And the automobile industry goes through fashion sweeps. We have cars now that are maybe high door sill, little windows. And, of course, we did that back in the Hudson era, too. The step-down chassis on the Hudson. The windows are very small. The car was low. So you have fashions that sweep through the automotive industry. And to avoid losing market share, they sort of follow each other along. And I think every car in the world now has the Mercedes reverse trunk taillight line. Some of the high-end Japanese cars, and there should be a sign on the back saying, we're trying to make this look as much like a BMW or a Mercedes as possible. And they succeed. If you see it a block away, in some cases you can't tell.
So you don't think that there's enough innovation in design in the industry today?
I don't. Let's take the alphabet, the lettering skill. You can make a Caslon, you can make a sans serif, a Gothic, something. Same letter, slightly different. The car industry follows about the same format technologically. It's not, with all due respect to the engineers, it's not that difficult anymore to make a car. A running, comfortable, air-conditioned, entertainment, augmentation. It's not that difficult. So what do? You try to invent like a face or a detail proportion or something that makes your car look a little bit different, but not too much, than the next one. So the farther you go outside this envelope, again, of recognizability, you go into specialized demographic markets. Now, you'll never mistake a Corvette for a Mercedes sedan, but they're two completely different usage proportional kinds of cars.
You've brought up several times the steel book that you did.
Yes.
Go into that a little bit, because I find that fascinating. You actually designed cars for U.S. Steel with a futuristic bent to it all?
Well, the manager of the U.S. Steel Automotive Marketing was John Reinhardt, and aluminum Alcoa had just started to invade the steel areas of car manufacture. And he said, we've got to confront this somehow. So I was the guy who was trusted with creating these fantastic, seductive images of the use of steel in the future for making vehicles. And the books were printed. They were 120 pages, 115, all illustrated, full color. And they were given away to key people in the automotive industries, hard cover for the executive, soft cover for line and studio designers. And that's how it all started. So the designs were deliberately done to feature the glamour of steel being used to make cars.
And this thing has legs. They still look good today.
Oh, I think so. Yes. Because I was inventing, again, the stretch of, we can do a glass windshield now. How about you lean the car back to about, 50-degree angle. It's kind of stylistically bizarre, but it's done right now. And then you sleek this whole thing back, and you come up with a shape that was back then was extremely, that awful word, futuristic. And then slowly because if you imagine properly, it will come to pass almost that way. I call science fiction, it's my quote that I invented, science fiction is reality ahead of schedule. And that's essentially what I'm hired to do.
I can't wait for that future to arrive. Sid Mead, it's been great talking to you. In fact, I've got to mention, too, you're the only one I think I've personally met who has a Wikipedia entry all on themselves. So another first for me.
Thank God for the Internet.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. It was fun.
Welcome to my discussion right now with Scott Charlin, the Executive Director of the Automotive Industry Action Group. Great to have you here on AutoLine Detroit.
John, great to see you again. Thanks for having me.
The AIAG is all about helping the industry cooperate on lowering costs and all that. Let's talk healthcare, one of the biggest cost problems that's going on in the industry right now. What ideas does the AIAG have to bring to the industry on healthcare?
Well, if you paid attention to Mr. Wagner last July in his testimony for the Senate Committee on Healthcare, he commented that $5.3 billion was spent by GM in 2005. That's more than they paid for steel. So we understand that we have a tremendous cost problem. We also know that the beginning and end of healthcare is with people like you and me. The fact of the matter is 30 to 40% of the cost of healthcare is preventable and avoidable. It's being focused on prevention, not treatment. It's the healthy lifestyle. It's wellness. It's eating in moderation. It's drinking in moderation. It's getting some damn exercise and not sitting in studios like this all day long. But the fact of the matter is, that's a behavioral change. That's like an awful long time. And Mr. Wagner's team, as long as the rest of the OEMs, are spending an awful lot of money and time on wellness and prevention. That is getting physicals, getting checkups, et cetera. At the same time, we have this unbelievable avalanche of building information on quality tools like Lean and Six Sigma being applied in by hospitals and doctors and clinicians, et cetera, which is great. The problem is this healthcare piece in terms of wellness will take years. This is immediate. There's nothing in between to sustain continuous improvement enterprise-wide. Lean and Six Sigma, as you know, John, better than most, tends to be project-specific. Doesn't look across the enterprise. What we're promoting from the AIEG side is quality management systems is the bridge to take you from these projects to get us down the road, maybe 20 years in some cases. If you look at smoking cessation, it may take that long to get that behavioral change, that educational awareness from at the very young level that, no, don't eat that McDonald's burger, have an apple in school. And in between, we work with the hospitals, with the clinics, and the docs to say, look, a quality management system is that bridge for you. And that's what we've done for the last 25 years in automotive. We've taken our parts per million defective, we've effectively reduced our costs and improved our quality by virtue of having a process-oriented quality management system. So all we're trying to do from the AIG side is simply migrate that experience, that expertise, and those tools from automotive into the healthcare space.
That's fascinating. Learning how the automotive companies improve their quality on the assembly line and applying that to hospitals and the like?
Absolutely. Look, we're not there's incredibly talented men and women in the healthcare space. We're not telling them how to practice medicine, but the business side of healthcare, the area that they don't get the education and training on from the schools and from the academic side, that's what we're concentrating on. How do we eliminate rework error and waste and how they do their business? That's where we're trying to help them.
So does the AIAG come in and do training, or how do you guys play a role in this?
As a matter of fact, we're partnering with organizations like the Michigan State Medical Society, the American Medical Association, the docs, and we're working right at the clinical level trying to help them map their process, understand where there's redundancy, where there's potential for rework, error, and waste, and giving them the tools they need to drive that out of their practice.
Any results that you can point to? Have you achieved anything yet?
Well, we can tell you that down at the Detroit Medical Center, they put the quality management system in place, basically an ISO system. And oh, by the way, it's an important aside, John. ISO is a global standard. We see this type of standard.
And ISO, just for people who don't know, that's international standards?
Organization. Okay. Based in Geneva, Switzerland.
Okay, right.
But it's the foundation for the automotive quality effort by Ford, General Motors, and Daimler Chrysler, specifically ISO TS16949.
So you put this ISO system down at the Detroit Medical Center, and what happened?
Yes. Generally speaking, the results have been very, very dramatic. They're saving about $1 million a year in two of their facilities by putting this system in place and effectively utilizing it. More importantly, as they've mapped their processes and driven out some of the efficiencies or identify them, they're able to convert from where they were to where they want to go in terms of the electronic enablement that they're using for electronic healthcare records, reporting, et cetera, driving out a lot of the manual. If you've ever gone to a doctor's office, all you see is stacks of manila folders, right, with your name on it and people moving these folders back and forth. Well, intuitively, you know that's not really efficient. If we can drive that into the electronic age, we have a much better opportunity to reduce rework, error, and waste immediately. And again, this is not a huge investment, but that having been said, we have to realize that a lot of our friends in the healthcare space are a little bit resistant to the electronic effort here and computers in general. So we're starting to work with them to map their processes out to say, what do we need to do before the computer arrives? You can have a state-of-the-art computer and software, et cetera. If the folks aren't ready to take it and the system isn't ready to be able to accommodate it, it'll fail. So what we're trying to say is, let's step back a second. Let's talk about your basic process. And what we know from automotive, painfully, is that we want to control the process, not the part. Let's take a long, hard look at your process, and let's see if we can't implement tools that we've used effectively and selectively in automotive to help you get there faster. Then you'll have more time to spend with your patients. Because, John, the problem we really have is we have this tsunami of demand coming. It's called the baby boomers. Not you, because you're a lean, mean hosting machine, but guys like me that should have had one less burger, one less Boomba with my burger, you know, suggest that the demand for healthcare products and services is going to outpace our ability to support it. I ask you, or any of your audience, you know, how long does it take you to get a meeting with a doctor, particularly a specialist? If it's months, well, it's going to get worse, not better, because we don't have enough nurses, we don't have enough docs, and again, this demand is coming at us, and it is not going to stop. Therefore, we better become efficient as hell in a hurry. And that's what we're trying to do. Not spend a lot of money, not telling them how to practice medicine. They already know how to do that. How do we take the rest of the distractions they have that isn't medicine and help them more effectively and efficiently deal with that?
Scott, this is fascinating, and I love hearing how automotive might actually help the healthcare issue. Thanks so much for coming on AutoLine Detroit and talking about this. Really interesting discussion.
Pleasure to see you again. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Production of AutoLine Detroit is brought to you by
Quieter, Stronger, Safer, Better. At Dow Automotive, we're all about solutions. Solutions that perform. From Dow Automotive, we listen, we deliver.
We know the value of innovation. We push the boundaries of technology to produce the next generation of modules and components for light vehicle systems and commercial vehicles. At Arvin Meritor, we're passionate about delivering value, quality, and performance. We learn innovation young. Arvin Meritor, solutions that move the world.
Michigan has quite an automotive history, but for Toyota, it holds an even bigger future.
Toyota Technical Center has broken ground on a 700-acre expansion.
We believe that we will be here for a long, long time.
Thanks to the help of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, high-tech companies plant roots here because the competitive advantage ensures success. From a tech-savvy workforce to its world-renowned research universities, Michigan can give your global manufacturing company the upper hand.
A global innovation network enables your organization to capture ideas from every part of the value chain and quickly turn great ideas into great products. UGS delivers a system that links all your partners in a real-time network where each can impact the conception, launch, life cycle, and long-term financial success of your product. UGS solutions power your global innovation network.
The American Iron and Steel Institute and its member companies are committed to a vital and sustainable North American steel industry. AISI, accelerating innovation with advanced high-strength steel.
I hope you enjoyed today's show, and I ought to remind you that if you like the interview with Sid Mead, there's even more, and I mean a lot more of that interview, posted on our website at AutolineDetroit.tv. But please join me again next week when my special guest will be Mark LaNave, the head of sales, service, and marketing at General Motors for all of North America. You know, GM surprised everyone in the industry last month, probably even surprised itself, with how sales swung upwards instead of the drop that everyone was expecting. So if you want to get an idea of where GM sales are headed for the rest of the year and what the company's marketing plans are, tune in next week for Mark LaNave. Anyway, that wraps up this show. For all of us here at AutoLine Detroit, I'm John McElroy. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Closed captioning for AutoLine Detroit is brought to you by Virtual Services, Automotive Specialists.